For many South Dakotans, just getting to the doctor's office can be a struggle. When you're there, you kind of want the doctor to look up from the laptop. You're listening to SDPB's In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Today, we're going to talk with Dr. Jeremy Cowles. He is Chief Medical Officer with Sanford Health. He recently came back from a national conference where they talked about how in South Dakota, we are coming up with innovative ways to get healthcare in all corners of the state. I talked with him about that and about something called ambient listening in the exam room.
There is a lot of interest right now in rural healthcare, how we deliver things, the things we're able to do. One of my favorite statistics is that currently, due to virtual care, we're able to save people an average of about 176 miles driven within the Sanford footprint just by making some of their care available virtually rather than in person.
What kinds of virtual care platforms are new that people might see coming on online?
So I think mental health has been the first place that it stepped out. And let's face it, there are people that aren't as comfortable having their Ford pickup out in front of the mental health clinic as they are having a conversation from their kitchen table or maybe on their break at work out in their truck to help get them through the depression, anxiety, the other things that they need to get through their day. Yeah. But at the same time, also know that it can be miles between them and the therapist they want to go to. And so making those things available virtually, as well as many others, helps a ton with making sure people can live their real life as well as get the help they need.
So the kinds of things that Sanford is developing in your footprint, and particularly because we're South Dakota Public Broadcasting in rural South Dakota, what are people excited to hear that you're doing that might be portable, that might be scalable to their rural communities?
I think one of the things that people have been excited about is things like cancer screening. The fact that we can do colon cancer screening now using a stool-based test, if you wish, that can be mailed to your house. And that sometimes results in you still having to make the drive later if the test is positive and we need to make sure there's nothing going on. But it generally gives that first step of the ability to do things in your community, closer to home, without having to make that travel.
Talk about workforce development, because this is always a challenge, finding the next nurses, doctors, technicians, and giving them a pathway to the profession. What are some of the innovative ways that you're doing that?
So I think the first part is just making sure you're partnering appropriately with the local schools and universities,
sure.
Whether it be Southeast here in town or Augustana. Or Augustana or USD or SDSU,
sure.
We work with them on a regular basis via nursing pipeline and via other things as well to make sure that we're not only aware of the programs that they have, but they're aware of the programs that we need to continue to serve that workforce. Another area that we've actually had really good luck lately is developing additional graduate medical education. So what we know is that if you do a residency in a community, you're much more likely to stay there and provide care later. So when we used to take all of our medical students and send them to Mayo or the University of Minnesota or to Iowa to finish their training, we would lose that opportunity to bring them back. So we have stood up multiple programs. The most recent one here is going to be the only emergency medicine department in South Dakota. And starting this year in June, we will be training our own emergency medicine physicians right here in the state.
How about women's health care and OBGYN care? Because we always hear about these maternal health deserts in South Dakota. What are some of the challenges right now, and what are some of the ways that you're addressing them?
Some of the challenges right now are absolutely, it is just difficult for some folks to get in for what might be an every other week appointment if they're pregnant, or to find the right doctor to help them through if they're thinking about being pregnant. And so establishing not only virtual visits for that, but also establishing a little bit of a, if you will, a skills pack that the mom can take home, containing a blood pressure cuff and maybe a Doppler, so they can get the vital numbers that we need Mm-hmm. And maybe have a conversation with your OB doc every other visit rather than a drive to your OB doc's office every other visit. Okay. So they can get the numbers they want as a doctor to make sure you're on guidelines. And you can do things like stay home with your other kids or stay at work and do the things that you need to do to make sure life keeps up as your healthcare continues to evolve.
So it seems to me there's a constant education, and that can be empowering for the patients as well.
Absolutely. And I think for us, it's making sure that that empowerment fits into the guidelines that the American College of Gynecology and Obstetrics would lay out for us, a.k.a. what are those things that they say that we need to do to make sure we're taking good care of a new mom?
Yeah.
And we then can loop that into what are those things that mom wants to do to make sure that she's taking good care of herself.
Yeah. I want to talk about something that is important at Sanford right now, which is ambient listening technology, and it's a pilot program. Help us understand what's happening with that program.
Sure. So many of us can either remember or imagine the day when the doctor's office wasn't dominated by the electronic medical record. There was no computer, there was no keyboard, there was no screen between you and your doctor as you had a conversation. Ambient listening is really just the ability to turn on a microphone that in the background is able to translate your speech as a patient and my speech as a doctor and turn that into the document or the note that comes out at the end of every doctor's visit. In doing that, it's able to remember what stuff was really important about the doctor's visit and what was the stuff that was just us having a conversation. You know, maybe we talked about fishing or cooking or something like that. And maybe it did or maybe it didn't have anything to do with the reason you were there in the office. Mm-hmm. The ambient listening is now a computer that sits in the background and actually builds our notes for us. And it's really done a couple of things. Number one, it's taken that screen and keyboard out from the middle of the transaction so we can be more face-to-face. The second part really is to allow that documentation to be more timely and to take the doctor's sort of need to go write that note after you get done talking or while you're talking out of the equation completely. One of my favorite stories is one of our busy family medicine docs here in town, here in Sioux Falls, who actually made it home in time to go buy his daughter her first car. When she turned 16, he decided that was something he wanted to do. And for the first time in a long time, he could plan on knowing that his notes would be done at 5:15 when he saw his last patient, and he wouldn't have 2.5 hours of follow-up paperwork that he would either have to do after dinner or before bed. Yeah. And this has become a regular, if you will, time saver for our docs.
So how does that change how you, you know, so I understand that you might have more face-to-face and that technological support. You're still perhaps taking notes because that might be how you process information as a physician. So you're helping yourself keep track of things. I just say that because I always write things down and that's how I remember them.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you check for accuracy? How do you communicate with your patient about privacy and issues? Like maybe they didn't want that story about cooking to be recorded anywhere. Help us understand how to bring patients along if they might be nervous about the technology.
Absolutely. So first and foremost, any patient that comes to Sanford can opt out of this option. If they want things to be done without the recording in the room, that's totally okay. We're happy to do that as well. And our doctors do still take notes and are still responsible at the end of every day for the verification of the appropriate information. What I like about it is if you were to compare me in the days before this when I had small notes jotted on multiple different charts and then had to try to build my note on my own, what you start with now is much more detail and a much more rich narrative, and you can add or subtract the things that don't really matter to the healthcare conversation you needed to have and do it in a way that's much more precise and much more informative than trying to remember, you know, all of the patients you saw at the end of a 20 or 25 patient day.
And was that always the doctor's responsibility to do, or were there support staff that were helping you do that in the past that now might be out of a job?
Actually, that was, for the most part, the doctors. There are a few doctors I know that used to function with scribes, used to function with somebody in the office that used to write those things down. But for the most part, if you went to most of our family practice clinics, their job was to function as that, both the asker of information and the recorder of information. And some of them did it very, very quickly, and some of them let a lot of it go until the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah. So patients then have access to what the doctor has approved at the end of the day. Like, how does that end up in my chart?
Yes. So in the electronic medical record, you have access to your doctor's notes. You can see everything that's in there, and you can take a look through. We don't have it happen very often, but there absolutely is a process if you're concerned that something that made it into the note wasn't the appropriate thing or wasn't what you actually said or meant in the note. But for the most part, this, if you will, digital transcription helps tremendously with accuracy.
Yeah. Is that something you've developed within Sanford, or is your a contract with a company? And I see the word pilot, so yep. Will it be permanent?
So it will be permanent. I can tell you it's not very often that I get 95% of doctors to agree on anything, but 95% of doctors would come to me at my house if I took this one away from them. It has really been not only a time saver, but allows them to do what they really wanted to do when they came out of school, which was sit down and have a conversation with a patient about what's going on and allow the paperwork to handle the paperwork. And so this program is actually built and designed through a company that's now been bought by Microsoft, but there are multiple different companies that do this throughout the country, and they're all getting continuously better as we're working. And so those large language models, so to speak, do a wonderful job of understanding not only my speech but your speech, and can do an even better job if you have an accent or possibly even a different language. Those translation abilities can also be improved.
And privacy.
The wonderful thing about this is this information doesn't go to the cloud and stay there forever. It is translated, moved appropriately into the electronic medical record, and then it is deleted out of the cloud that helped do the translation.
That's fascinating. Yeah. Patient feedback on it so far? Did they notice?
They do notice, and I will tell you the patient feedback has been resoundingly positive. Mm-hmm. Even in our doctors, who I would say are, if you will, according to the numbers, our best docs, their patient satisfaction scores are the highest. Even their scores went up just a little bit when we introduced this, because they felt like it took the computer screen out of the middle and allowed them to be more face-to-face with their doctors, which is the reason they like their doctors in the first place.
What happens in our healthcare when our physician can go home at the end of the day and show up for his kid at a basketball game or to buy a car or to be there for a birthday party?
Well, I can tell you what it means for me. Mm-hmm. I got into medicine because I really wanted to serve and help people. And I can also tell you that I was raised in a family where my parents had the time to spend with me, and I feel that's very important. And so my options to be done with my work a little bit earlier, to be in my kids' lives, and to be part of, you know, raising them is not only a good thing, I think, for all involved, but it helps us come back to work each day a little bit more refreshed and a little bit more ready to take on the next challenge, because we know that we have the technology and the support to continue this work, eliminating some of the burnout, eliminating some of the headaches, and doing everything that we can to continue to practice in a way that we feel not only comfortable with, but happy with ourselves, both from how we took care of our patients and how we take care of our families.
Yeah. Anything else you want to talk about today, that any health information that is, important to get out to people right now?
I think the only thing in addition to this conversation would really be to remind you that if you're going into an appointment or if you have a long travel for an appointment, it is perfectly acceptable to check to see if your doctor is doing that kind of visit virtually.
Sure.
They will have programs for that, and they will have clear guidelines to say, you know what, no, this I need to have you in the office for, or this is something I don't need to have you in the office for. One of our endocrinologists in Stanford, for instance, when the weather gets bad, his clinic goes to almost 50% virtual because they actually have an agreement with their folks that live outside of town that they'll switch to virtual so you don't have to drive through the bad weather in order to get your diabetes checked.
That's Dr. Jeremy Cowles. He's Chief Medical Officer at Sanford Health. And that is our conversation for today. I hope that it served you. From all of us here at SDPB, I'm Lori Walsh. If you'd like to send me an idea for the show, give me an email in the moment at sdpb.org. And thank you for listening.